The story of King Puranjana, the allegory of King Puranjana, continues. Puranjana has proved himself completely controlled by his wife, who represents material intelligence at this point, or a pious way to enjoy this world. Because the tendency in the material world is to take one's desires, because everyone in the material world who is tinged by passion has some desires, material desires. And the tendency in the material atmosphere is to desire to unrestrictedly enjoy one's senses. This is the tendency. And Puranjana did this. He gave up religious means or regulated shastric, scriptural means for pleasure, and instead he followed the whim of his mind for pleasure. In other words, he acted sinfully. He gave up good spiritual, or rather good pious material intelligence that purifies, and instead acted hedonistically, which really degrades. Desires are born of passion, and if one follows the religious systems to satisfy one's desires, then the result of that is that that passion is sublimated or purified, and it turns, practically speaking, due to detachment, purification, it turns into goodness. On the other hand, if one follows the whim of one's mind, if one becomes a servitor, an obedient follower of the mind, and does what he wishes to do, the result of that is a deepening of his ignorance, his foolishness, his bad karma increases, the coverings over his true self increases. And one may ask, as materialists tend to ask, what is the terrible thing about that? Even if I increase my ignorance and become a dog or a monkey, that's one of the wonderful things about Vrindavan. It's a zoo, practically speaking, with the dogs and the hogs and the monkeys. And when you live here and you watch the dogs and the hogs and the monkeys, you know why it is not good to be a dog or a monkey. Because an animal, the simplest part of it, not having hands, not being able to speak in a sophisticated way to express your desires, and having a fur coat continuously, even in the summer, and in that fur coat are living so many bugs and fleas and animals, and their business is only to torture you. Such suffering. And you see it amongst the monkeys and the dogs. Half the time, they are fighting off other animals and other groups of dogs and monkeys. And the other half of the time, they are fighting amongst themselves. It's incredible. One devotee told me this yesterday. He saw that a monkey had just been in a fight with these big other male bull monkeys. And one monkey just caught him by the back. And these monkeys are so heavy, and in a small way, extremely powerful. And he ripped off a huge part of his back. They have these teeth like this. And he ripped off, and there was blood going everywhere. And that monkey runs away. And they're always going, and they're attacking each other. It's a horrible life. It's a horrible life. What does... For even a human being, it's such torture. What to speak of an eternal soul who is meant to be with Krishna and living in his blissful relationship with Krishna. Oh, what torture the coverings of an animal body are. The soul's consciousness is naturally very wide and broad. being meant to be with Krishna. And what a constriction, a tightening, a making smaller of his consciousness. So all he can do is bite and fight and eat and mate. So this is animalistic life. This is not spiritual life. But if one has desires, how to live with those desires in such a way that he's gradually purified, that's been explained. In this allegory by the wife, Prabhupada explained, is intelligence, good Krishna conscious intelligence. And in the text explained that it is pious material or pious karmakandhya intelligence, practically speaking. How to enjoy in a pious way so that one's consciousness doesn't become overly covered. How to remain pious and still enjoy in this world. But that is not the goal of Krishna consciousness. Because a Brahma Bhuvanaloka Purna Avitana Arjuna Mamupeti to count up Purna Janmana Vidite, there is birth and death. And Paranjana, who is a king representing every living entity who is in a body trying to enjoy. There is such a tendency for one in a body to try to enjoy that which is produced of the body. But dukkha yona evate. What does that mean? That verse came up yesterday. Yes. It becomes a source. So, nateshu ramate Buddha. The Buddha, the wise person. He very, very... Buddha means intelligent. And one who is intelligent understands something in advance. Just like if you're on the top of a tall building, right on the very top, and one person is standing there and he jumps off the building as high as he can. So for 3 seconds, it looks like he's going up. So a foolish person will think, how wonderful, he's going up. But an intelligent person can see the future and understand that very shortly it's going to be terrible. Intelligence means being able to see the future. So nateshu ramate Buddha, a wise person, does not engage in combining the senses and the sense objects, even though a desire may be there to do so. Yehi samsparjaja boga dukkha yona evate. Because he knows that in the future this is going to cause me so much suffering. And who wants to suffer? Who wants the consciousness to be covered and become a dog or a monkey? Oh, the dogs suffer so much. They're so envious. They're so envious with food. They're so envious that if one dog has food and there's another dog nearby and you give him food, that dog who has his food already will drop his food to stop that other dog from eating. He will drop his food and fight with that dog. No conception of both enjoying what they have. And humans, are humans much better than this usually? So much envy sits in the heart. So, the pastime as we're reading it is a story between Narada Muni is instructing a king, Prachini Barishad, and he wants to tell this king, give this king a lesson indirectly. So he's telling him this pastime about King Paranjana and his trying to enjoy this world through his wife. So he and his wife just had a quarrel because of his sinful activities. And then he flattered her and touched her feet. And then she's forgiven him. And now we're beginning the first text of chapter 27. My dear king, after bewildering her husband in different ways and bringing him under her control, the wife of King Paranjana gave him all satisfaction and enjoyed sex life with him. So Prabhupada's purport summarizes what's been happening. We'll just read the beginning of that. After hunting in the forest, which meant unrestricted sense enjoyment, King Paranjana returned home, and after refreshing himself by taking a bath and eating nice food, he searched for his wife. When he saw her lying on the ground without a bed, as if neglected and devoid of any proper dress, he became very much aggrieved. He then became attracted to her and began to enjoy her company. A living entity is similarly engaged in the material world in sinful activities. These sinful activities may be compared to King Paranjana's hunting in the forest. And Prabhupada's purport remains that better than engaging in unrestricted sinful activities, better to live a Krishna conscious life with wife, husband and wife and children, and gradually make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Second verse. The queen took her bath and dressed herself nicely with all auspicious garments and ornaments. And after taking food and becoming completely satisfied, she returned to the king. Upon seeing her beautifully decorated, attractive face, the king welcomed her with all devotion. Queen Paranjani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Very, very romantic. But it is like the person on the building jumping up. In this world, there is no romance. What can be said? There is no romance because the bodies that we have are ultimately, they're decomposing at every moment. We are souls. We long for a loving relationship on the soul level. When it's on the bodily level, it is simply lust and it is dissatisfying, unsatisfying. Ultimately, it's not romantic. It appears romantic due to maya, illusion. So King Paranjana became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot, and this is what he forgot. And this is the perspective that a Krishna conscious person sees in. And a materialist refuses to see this perspective, even though it's clear and right before his eyes. King Paranjana became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot that the passing of days and nights meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit. Every day he was one day closer to his death. Every night that passed he was one night closer to his death. And his valuable human life, which was meant to gain the most wonderful thing, Komarama Chirat Pragyo Daman Bhagavataniha Dulabam Manusya Janmatarappa Dhruva Martadam. Something so wonderful can be gained in this life. But when one is attracted by petty sense enjoyment, then that wonderful thing is lost, not gained, and one's life, which should be used to gain that, is lost day by day imperceptibly. Manusha Janmapaya Radha Krishna Bhajiya Shunya Janiya Bhishakainu. Instead of learning to love Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and lamenting that we don't have love for Radha and Krishna, we distract our minds with so many other things, so many petty, frivolous, sensuous things that are Maya's gift, so we distract our mind from the real purpose of life. And we don't remember, we forget how we are wasting our life and we're forgetting life's real purpose. So there is no gain by living a life of sense enjoyment like Paranjana was living, because one leaves it all behind. Whatever one gains on the material level is just memories after some time. And what is left is a dissatisfaction in the heart. And the more one tries to enjoy on this level, the more dissatisfied in heart one becomes. And unless we become convinced of this, unless we become deeply, deeply convinced of this, we cannot actually make progress spiritually. So here, Prabhupada's purport. Breaks the romance of this. And later on in the pastime, towards the end possibly of what we'll read today and starting tomorrow, the real problems begin. And the real problem begins with what? Old age, when old age starts coming. Because a fear starts entering the heart. The elbows hurt, the knees hurt, the eyes are weak. The hair falls out, the digestion stops, the feet become flat. I'm just describing what my life is like. The shoulders ache, the back aches, one thing after the next, after the next. Pain here, pain there. But all the desires for enjoyment, for pleasure, they're there. The habits are developed. So frustrating. So Prabhupada explains the word pramada in this verse is very significant. This is text 3. A beautiful wife is certainly enlivening to her husband, but at the same time is the cause of degradation. The word pramada means enlivening as well as maddening. Generally, a householder does not take the passing of days and nights very seriously. A person in ignorance takes it as the usual course that days come, and after the days, nights come. This is the law of material nature. But a man in ignorance does not know that when the sun rises early in the morning, it begins to take away the balance of his life. And people don't really consider what is really to be gained in this life. What do I want to gain? But when I leave this world, when I leave this body, what do I wish to be mine? Is it things that will be left behind at death? Or is it something that is eternally mine? Thus, day after day, the span of one's life is reduced, and forgetting the duty of human life, the foolish man simply remains in the company of his wife and enjoys her in a secluded place. Such a condition is called aprakrista chetana, or degraded consciousness. Human consciousness should be used for elevation to Krishna consciousness. What is the Sanskrit sloka where that the term Krishna consciousness comes from? No? Yes. Krishna bhakti rasita bhavato mati. Mati, the inclination, the tendency, the mind to relish the deep and sweet taste of Krishna Bhakti Rasa, one's relationship with Krishna. It sounds so simple. We say it every day. Oh, Krishna conscious. We should become Krishna conscious. But Krishna consciousness, this was what Prabhupada translated it from. Krishna bhakti rasata bhavato mati. The sweet, mellow exchange between the soul and Krishna. That is what Krishna consciousness is. Kriyatam yadi bhutiti labhyate. One should get this thing. This is life's purpose. So when we talk about getting this thing and how important it is to gain the attraction for Krishna and detach oneself on the bodily concept of life, what do we do? If we want to gain an attraction to Krishna, what do we do? I want to do this. What do I have to do? And it is actually not difficult, the process. It is basic and simple. Chanting Hare Krishna very sincerely, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., and the other process. Serving the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. Following the orders of the spiritual master. Listening very carefully, trying to apply these principles to our life. So human consciousness should be used for elevation to Krishna consciousness. But when a person, so what does that mean? Human consciousness should be used for elevation into Krishna consciousness. What does that mean? Krishna consciousness. Right, but what does it mean, Krishna consciousness? But what does it mean, consciousness of Krishna? Krishna bhakti rasita bhavato mati. Not, I want to hear it in a way that it's attractive. Yeah, yes. More, yes. Yeah, but not just understanding, not acting, yes. Yes, and what is that? Yeah, yes. Be swept away in ecstasy, something like that. That is Krishna bhakti ras, Krishna bhakti ras. Love for Krishna. Love for the all-attractive, all-beautiful Supreme Person living forever in Vrindavan. This is where the Bhagavatam wants to take us. This is where the holy names are meant to bring us. A simple life on one level, but internally, Prabhupada used to say, I think he got it from Gandhi actually, the saying, simple living but high thinking. The highest thinking, the deepest thinking, loving Krishna fully. This is life's purpose. This is Krishna consciousness. Elevation to Krishna consciousness. A removal of all the contaminants, the impurities, the material desires that cause us so much trouble, that cover our consciousness, and to be always engaged in serving Krishna with great affection. So when a person is too much attracted to his wife and family, he does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. He thus becomes degraded, not knowing that he cannot buy back even a second of his life in return for millions of dollars. The greatest loss in life is passing time without understanding Krishna. Every moment of our lives should be utilized properly. And the proper use of life is to increase devotional service to the Lord. What is devotional service to the Lord? What is the Sanskrit of that? Huh? Yes, Bhagavad Dharma, but bhakti. Bhagavad Dharma for sure. But bhakti, same point, seva, Krishna seva, devotion. Not only service, but devotional service. And not only devotion, but devotional service. It's natural. There is no meaning of devotion without service. When you love someone, you immediately want to do something to please them. Devotional service. Without devotional service to the Lord, the activities of life become simply a waste of time. Even if we perform our material duties properly, we're very, very responsible on the material level. If we gain nothing on the spiritual level, we've wasted our life. Text 4. In this way, increasingly overwhelmed by illusion, King Paranjana, although advanced in consciousness, remained always lying down with his head on the pillow of his wife's arms. In this way, he considered woman to be his ultimate life and soul, and being thus overwhelmed by the mood of ignorance, he could not understand the meaning of self-realization, of his self, or of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's, we'll read the first paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. Pushing again the same point, he's preaching to Narada Muni, is preaching to Prajini Barishat, because Prajini Barishat is thinking that life's purpose is to enjoy more pleasure in life. And Prabhupada is taking the opportunity to preach to us strongly on this point. Because there is that tendency is so deep. The illusion of Maya is so deep. The tendencies of the mind are so habituated to try to enjoy in this world. These strong words are meant for us. Human life, Prabhupada explains, is meant for self-realization. Same point again. Self-realization means realizing who we are, who actually we are. If we think we're the body, then we're wrong. But self-realization means actually realizing our true identity. We're temporarily this body. Clearly, if I'm my body, which body am I? Am I the body of me when I was 3? Am I the body of me when I was 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50? Which body am I? So many different changes of body have already taken place while I remain the same. First of all, Prabhupada explains, one has to realize his own self, which is described in this verse as nijam. Then he has to understand or realize the Supersoul, or Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, when one becomes too much materially attached, he takes a woman to be everything. This is the basic principle of material attachment. In such a condition, one cannot realize his own self or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this has been explained, that two things have to go on simultaneously, Sanat Kumar explained. One is detachment from the material, the bodily concept of life, and on the other side, at the same time, attachment to Krishna has to increase. And we will not, he explained, that we will not be able to decrease our bodily attachment unless we increase our attachment to Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is therefore said, Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahova Muktes Tamo Dvaram Yoshita Sangha Sangam. If one associates with Mahatmas or devotees, his path of liberation is open. But if one becomes too much attached to women or to persons who are also attached to women, that is, attached to women directly or indirectly, he opens the tamo dwaram, the door to the darkest region of hellish life. So in contemporary civilization, there is, practically speaking, training for the young boys, the young girls, to become attracted to each other and become addicted to sensual enjoyment from the youngest ages. And this makes it very difficult, or much more difficult, to spiritually advance when one becomes older. My dear King Prachini Barishat, in this way, King Paranjana, with his heart full of lust and sinful reactions, began to enjoy sex with his wife, and in this way, his new life and youth expired in half a moment. The great sage Narada then addressed King Pratinibharishat, "O one whose lifespan is great, in this way King Paranjana begot 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife Paranjani. However, in this business, he passed away half his lifespan. O Prajapati, King Pratinibharishat, in this way King Paranjana also begot 110 daughters. All of these were equally glorified like the father and mother. Their behavior was gentle, and they possessed magnanimity and other good qualities. After this, King Paranjana, king of the Panchala country, in order to increase the descendants of his paternal family, married his sons with qualified wives and married his daughters with qualified husbands. Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Paranjana." So this is material life. In the allegory, the increasing of the sons and grandsons and the great-grandsons, coming, first there is one person, then there is marriage, and then there is children, and this especially refers to the marriage of non-devotees, because this is the purpose of their life. And then what increases continuously, it may not be having 1,100 sons and 110 daughters, but what these represent is material desires. Because the tendency is to want and need more and more and more, and never be satisfied with what one has. To need and want more and more and more and more. And life becomes more and more complicated. Because if there is a woman or a man especially, if he's alone, he's not married, he can go anywhere, he can sleep somewhere, find something to eat somehow or another. But soon as he's married, then he needs an apartment and there's children, and then the income needs to increase. And then the children, before, when you're alone, you only have to worry about one mind. And when you get married, then you have to worry about two minds. And then three minds, and then four minds, and then five minds. And each one of those minds makes demands. I want this. Why aren't you satisfying me? Because everyone is feeling an intense dissatisfaction in the heart for lack of love of Krishna. But not understanding why that's taking place, that dissatisfaction. Everyone blames others, not understanding where the real cause of unhappiness lies. It's within. And it's caused by our lack of Krishna consciousness, love for Krishna. So this increase of Paranjana's children and family, progeny, and in crowding his whole city, the city represents the body, means that material desires increase unlimitedly. And the more desires one has, the more frustrated he becomes. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, a goal is to simplify material desires, our material needs. Not increase, but simplify material needs and material desires. And on the other hand, increase our spiritual desires. This had been explained previously. the ocean of our spiritual desires should increase and overflood the river of our material desires. And depending upon the level of our Krishna consciousness, we should increase our spiritual desires accordingly. And the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada's movement, is so nice because it gives a facility for everyone to increase their spiritual desires. Even if one is a new devotee and doesn't know much about Krishna, but has some affection and relationship and appreciation for Prabhupada, may not know, and this was the early days of the movement was just like that. No one really knew anything about Krishna. Yes, we saw his picture in the very early days. There was no Krishna book even. No one had read very much. Only the first and second canto of the Bhagavatam had been published. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya had just been published. Bhagavad Gita had been published. But still, everyone wanted to please Prabhupada. And for that, actually it was for that reason alone that the Krishna consciousness movement grew. Because everyone wanted to please Prabhupada. And their spiritual desires to please Prabhupada were very, very intense. Has anyone seen those videos of Prabhupada in the early days in Los Angeles? And you saw? Everyone was so young in one sense, and as one devotee pointed out, actually Prabhupada was the only adult in the movement at that time. We were just children, practically speaking. We were very proud, we thought we knew everything, but practically we were children, spiritually, materially. But yet the devotees were full, overflowing and full with a desire to please Prabhupada. And you see that in the videos. That you see the devotees chanting and dancing, and when Prabhupada's coming, they're throwing flower petals. He so much captured everyone's heart. And it's obvious how great Prabhupada was, or is, because look what he started. You know, a huge movement. He spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But then it wasn't obvious what would happen. But it was just this person who is, we couldn't tell it exactly, but he had a special sweetness due to his carrying Radha and Krishna in his heart that made him so attractive. So attractive. Because he had so much devotion for Radha and Krishna. Such a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a devotee of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so continuously, minute by minute, fixed in Krishna consciousness and dedicated to preaching. And so open-hearted and friendly and affectionate and very caring too. And yet doing incredibly big, big, big preaching work with so many disciples after a while. But there was a sweetness because he had captured the all-attractive, so he was so attractive. And therefore, all the devotees out of their affection for him were full with, because he told us how to please him by preaching mostly. Preaching, book distribution, going out on Sankirtan, Kirtan, enthusiasm to hold festivals. And the young boys and girls, they were so enthusiastic just to please him. What to speak of when they saw him. So, that is the beginning and also the end of spiritual life, but the beginning to be enthusiastic on the simplest level, following the orders of the preaching orders of Srila Prabhupada and distribution orders of Prabhupada, the following the conclusion that the materialists in this world are leading civilization in a terrible direction, and being enthusiastic to actually help change that. And the devotees were indeed, in a very simple, youthful way, they were full of that desire. So this is the process of overcoming all the material desires that sit in our heart, is that we have to become full of spiritual desires on one level or another. And the highest of spiritual desires, of course, or the deepest, is when one is truly in love with Radha and Krishna, and then everything that we do springs from that. That is the motivating force behind. But also, there are so many levels, but in any case, if we want to conquer material desires, we have to become full of spiritual desires. We have to become dedicated on the spiritual path by being full of... It can be sort of in between. Oh yes, as Prabhupada was describing yesterday in the purport, should I be a devotee? Should I not be a devotee? Should I go back to material life? Should I keep in spiritual life? We can be like that, and certainly some mornings when we wake up, we are like that. But this will not bring the satisfaction to the heart that we truly long for. We have to take our stance. Yes, I'm going to do this. We have to be inspired, not have to be in the sense that we don't have a choice, but if we want to advance properly, we do have to become enthusiastic on whatever level our consciousness is, to become a servant of Krishna and to place Krishna in the center. So the story of Paranjana continues. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King Puchini Barishad, like you, King Paranjana also became implicated in so many desires. That's what it means to live in the material world, to increase our material desires. And that's what it means to be in the spiritual world, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, to increase forever our spiritual desires, our love for Krishna. As one increases his love and attraction for Krishna, naturally his desire to please Krishna increases and increases and increases. Krishna is ever increasingly beautiful, ever increasingly expert at increasing the bliss of his devotee. Indeed, he is the servant of his devotee in increasing their happiness. And the devotee and the devotees naturally wish to give Krishna pleasure more and more and more. More and more and more and more. This desire must blossom in the heart. How can I please Krishna? If we don't increasingly think, how can I please Krishna? Right now, what can I do to please Krishna? I'm in this situation. I'm in a difficult situation. I'm in an easy situation. I'm angry at someone. I'm taking prasadam. I'm going to see the deities. I'm giving class. I'm listening to class. I'm doing my puja. I'm walking down the road. When we can offer ourselves at each moment naturally to Krishna, of course that's a product of love for Krishna. So this is what really needs to be developed. When it is vaiti vakti, we do this type of thing because the Shastra says, I should think like this, and if I don't, I'm going to suffer and I won't advance. But on the higher platforms, on Raganuga Bhakti, then one spontaneously, out of affection, naturally, just like the mother naturally wants to do what is nice for the child. It's just the most natural thing when there is affection there. So let the affection blossom in our heart for Krishna. And then what to do to get that to occur? It is again the same process, but do it attentively, chanting, hearing, association. The process that we do, but with attention, with purpose, with affection, and without offenses. So, Pachini Barishat, like you, Narada said, King Paranjana also became implicated in so many desires. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers, and social leaders with various sacrifices, which were all very ghastly because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals. So Prabhupada in his purport explains that Narada Muni wished to stop the animal sacrifices that Pachini Barishat was performing one after the other. They are ghastly, they are cruel, they are selfish. So he's speaking a little indirectly, saying that Paranjana did all these things just as you are doing. And he became filled with material desires, just as you are filled with material desires. So gradually now, and in the name of religion, materialism in the name of religion, dharma protija kaitava tra paramano namatsaranam satam, the Srimad Bhagavatam kicks this out. In all the different religions of the world, there is no understanding what religion actually is. That was the verse that you quoted before. Dharmasya pavargasya artha upakalpate. It is not. The religious practices is to develop love for Krishna, to become an eternal servant. So Prachini Barishad is being criticized by Narada Muni, very strongly actually, but indirectly. Thus King Paranjana, text 12, being attached to fruit of activities. What does fruit of activities mean? What is fruit? Not exactly sense enjoyment. What is fruitive activities? Well, sacrifices, yes. But they're activities. Yes. Just like you plant a tree, not that because you want a tree, but because you're waiting till the tree grows and then gives its fruit, its apples, its oranges, its pears, its bananas, whatever. Huh? Yes, you're doing something to gain something else that you'll enjoy later. So, this is what material life means. We work for the purpose of sense enjoyment. We work now, we do this and that, not because we particularly like to work. No one likes to go to the office and work, but to gain the money which will facilitate sense enjoyment. Fruitive work, planting the tree to get the fruit. So Paranjana was attached to fruitive activities, even though he was religious in the sense of he was performing so many sacrifices, but he was attached to his fruitive activities. That desire that I'll work and gain something for me. And this is very hard to root out of the heart of the conditioned soul, this self-centeredness. I will do something in devotional life for me, for my pleasure. I will spiritually advance for me. I will go to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, and I'll take my camera, and I'll take pictures, and I'll make slideshows. And then I'll come down, and everyone say, these are the greatest slideshows I've ever seen. So wonderful, you've done well. And I'll go, yes, I've done so well. We tend to use Krishna consciousness in our own way, but Krishna is so kind that he ruins our attempts of self-centeredness. He's so kind, he ruins our attempts at selfishness and self-centeredness, although it is not very pleasant when he does that to us. But he always will do that out of his mercy. So Paranjana was attached to fruitive activities as well as kith and kin. What does kith and kin mean? Relatives and family members. So much entangled, it's just extended selfishness and being obsessed with polluted consciousness. Obsessed means you take what you are thinking so seriously. I want this. So the desires that are in my polluted consciousness, my contaminated consciousness, my material desires, I take them fully seriously. I want it now. So he was completely enwrapped in his material consciousness, and then he eventually arrived at that point, not very much liked by those who are overly attached to material things. And that is, as Prabhupada explains in his purport, the point of old age. Because one can have the illusion that I'm going to enjoy. When one is young, I have this habit when I see young children, even if they're 8 years old or 10 years old or 6 years old, I ask them, how old would you like to be? And it's such a peculiar thing. The 8-year-old says, I'd like to be 10. The 10 says 13, because everyone is looking, and the 13-year-old says 16, and the 16-year-old says 18. Because everyone is thinking the enjoyment is going to be somewhere else. But when they get to the somewhere else, it's not there either. And then by the time you're 25, it starts going backwards. I wish I was 18 again, and 30, I wish I was... And there's a part of us that never... inside never grows up past a certain age. Or it doesn't seem to. So, Paranjana, so you can have the dream of enjoyment when you're at a certain age, but by the time you are old, there is no hope left. And then you start looking at the young boys and girls running and jumping and holding hands or something like that. And you think, oh, I wish I could do that again. And if you keep thinking like that, you will do that again. Because by those desires, you're preparing for your next birth. And that's what happens to old people, because the body is so rickety and wrinkled and no one likes, not very pleasant. So you start thinking, oh, I wish I could do that again, and I wish I could have this kind of body again, and I wish I could... Clearly preparing for one's next birth. Clearly. So the devotee, what he wants again is to have his spiritual desires simply increase and increase and burst into flames. So his spiritual desires are so strong, they overflood, they burn, we'll keep the same metaphor, they burn to ashes, they make insignificant these materialistic tendencies. Oh, he's thinking when he's old, I wish I could serve Krishna in this way. Oh, I wish I could serve Srimati Radharani in this way. Oh, I wish I could serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, in that way. Let those desires burn in the heart so brightly that that prepares our next birth. Instead of, I wish I could run and jump. Oh, look at this one. I never had this when I was young. And now I'm feeling the lack now. We all have these things. Only if I learned Sanskrit even. Or only if my mother loved me. Or if only if this. If only I had this, then I wouldn't be needing it now. We're preparing for our next birth if we think like that. And we will get that, but we won't get Krishna. And the only way to overcome these type of things, and we see someone, a devotee even, who can do something that we can't do. Only if I could do that. Only if... But what we are taught, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada were very strong on this point. Don't try to learn anything new even. Get to the real point. Just try and love Krishna. If you want to lament about something, only if, lament about that. Manusha Janamapaya Radha Krishna Nabajiya. Only if I love Krishna. Oh, Krishna. Oh, please. And chant in that way. Please accept me. Although I have no love for you, please, a drop of mercy, give me so I can develop some desire to love you in my heart. And let those desires become very strong. That is what we have to do. Otherwise, these desires on the mental platform, they'll drive us crazy. They'll push us from one life to the next. One will be thinking, only if I could learn Sanskrit, then I could be able to preach properly, I could do this and do that. Then in the next life I learned Sanskrit, and I think only if I was strong like Madhvacharya, then people would be attracted. And only if I can't speak English properly, I can only speak Sanskrit in 15 different Indian languages. Only if this, only if that. Only if I had a good memory, I can't remember slokas in Sanskrit. Only if I had a good memory, only if I could write really expertly. One life after the next, only if. But get to the real point, only if I love Krishna. Only if I could serve Radha and Krishna. Nothing else. Ar nahi more. Nothing more than this. Nothing less than this, nothing more than this. So when the mind starts, it's only if. Then we have to start saying, only if you would be quiet, that would be very good. And then we start, only if I had a peaceful mind, next life. To the exact point. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, King Paranjana finally arrived at the point of old age. In old age, the senses lose their strength. And although an old man desires to enjoy his senses, it's not that the desires go away. Especially sex life, he is very miserable because his instruments of enjoyment no longer function. Such sensualists are never prepared for death. But that does not stop death. They simply want to live on and on and extend their life by so-called scientific advancement. Some foolish Russian scientists also claim they are going to make man immortal. No offense. through scientific advancement. So Prabhupada, when he was he had read these, he used to get paper from the with all the news releases in the 60s and 70s. He would read this and he would use the other side of the paper. He would get news releases from the Russian embassy in Delhi and he would take that paper and it would have all the scientific claims of the propaganda claims released by the communist government. And you know, we will make a man eternal through science, through medicine. And Prabhupada used to type his essays on the other side of that paper. So he was well aware of what they were saying. So they, under the leadership of such crazy fellows, civilization is going on. Cruel death, however, comes and takes all of them away, despite their desire to live forever. This type of mentality was exhibited by Hiranyakashipu, but when the time was ripe, the Lord personally killed him within a second. So here, the end of the romance is now really going to begin. O King, in Gandharva Loka there is a king named Chandavega. Under him, there are 360 very powerful Gandharva soldiers. Prabhupada's purport. Time is figuratively described here as Chandavega. Since time and tide wait for no man, time is herein called Chandavega, which means very swiftly passing away. As time passes, it is calculated in terms of years. 1 year contains 360 days, and the soldiers of Chandravega herein mentioned represent these days. Time passes swiftly. Chandravega's powerful soldiers of Gandharva Loka very swiftly carry away all the days of our life. As the sun rises and sets, it snatches the way away the balance of our lifespan. Who is so conscious to be aware of this and therefore treat every day as the most valuable thing, not to waste and frivolously just throw away, but how to use this to gain some very important jewels of spiritual understanding. It is therefore said that the duration of one's life cannot be saved, but if one is engaged in devotional service, his time cannot be taken away by the sun. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.17, Ayor Harativai Pumsan Udyan Astam Chayana So. The conclusion, that means that if you hear the Bhagavatam, you will not waste your life, you will go forward in your spiritual life, you will gain something of eternity. But if you gain something on the material level, you've gained nothing. You've just brought, with this day, you've just brought death one day closer. So this is the preaching of this section. To detach us from the bodily concept of life. Because unless that's done, unless some determination is there in the mind, because Matirna Krishna Paratak Svato Vad, if we desire to enjoy this world, we cannot have an inclination to Krishna. So we have to become convinced that it is not possible. As long as there is a hope, a foolish hope in the heart that yes, I will be able to enjoy, then it is very difficult to advance. Neither on the subtle level, gaining something that's self-centered, nor on the gross level, is it possible? Because Chandavega, what is Chandavega? And what is the form of this Chandavega? 360 days, 360 nights. Very powerful soldiers. And listen to, who but Prabhupada will speak so bluntly like this? This is the exact opposite of the way materialists and materialists in the guise of religionists think. The conclusion is that if one wants to make himself immortal, he should give up sense gratification. Who will say that we should give up sense gratification? By engaging oneself in devotional service, one can gradually enter the eternal kingdom of God. Same point. On one hand, give up the bodily concept of life. On the other hand, attach yourself to Krishna in devotional service and gradually go back home, back to Godhead. 14. Along with Chandavega, time, the male soldiers who represent the days that steal away one's life, many female Gandavis, as many as there were soldiers, 360 female soldiers, all of them repetitively plundered all the paraphernalia for sense gratification. The paraphernalia for sense gratification, the eyes, the senses, day by day they are weakened by these soldiers of time. Day by day they are weakened, the ability is plundered to enjoy this world. So for a materialist, this is the most frightening thing. The most frightening thing, terrifying thing. But for a devotee who is detached, who is seriously wishing to develop his attachment for Krishna, he says, oh, this is Krishna reminding me. This is Krishna coming in the form of day and night to remind me what is really to be gained in this world and what is to be lost. We'll read the second half of Prabhupada's purport and then one more verse. In this Kali Yuga, the demoniac mentality is employed in manufacturing various machines to facilitate the process of sense gratification. There are so many machines for ordinary household activities. There are machines for washing dishes, for cleansing the floor, for shaving, for clipping hair. Today, everything is done by machine. They have machines for brushing your teeth. Machines for... what's another silly machine they have? Do they have machines for washing your vegetables? For cutting vegetables, they have machines. They call it a food processor. You throw the vegetables in there, it goes... and it cuts it. All these facilities for sense gratification are described in this verse as sava kama vaniyamitam. The time factor, however, is so strong that not only is our span of life being expended, wasted, but all the machines and facilities for sense gratification are deteriorating. Therefore, in this verse, the word valumpanti, plundering, the word plundering is used. Time plunders. Everything is being plundered from the very beginning of our life. Plundered means against your will. That's the implication of the word plunder. It is against your will, stolen from you. It's heavy. This is meant to frighten us. And the exciting parts are just coming. The next 2 days, 3 days. Oh, don't come if you. The time factor is so strong that not only is our span of life being expended, but all the machines and facilities for sense gratification are deteriorating. Everything is being plundered from the very beginning of our life. The plundering of our possessions and lifespan begins with the day of our birth. One day will come. And don't think this isn't going to happen to each and every one of us. One day will come And that will be the day of our death. And it will happen. In this year, I was present when two devotees left this world. Just this year. Two, and then also Sridhar Maharaj left. So, every one of us, being a devotee, does not stop this from happening to us on the material level. One day will come when death will finish everything, and what will we be attached to? What will we think of? What will we miss? What will we desire? If we practice in our life, loving Krishna, desiring to serve Krishna, then at the last moment of death, if we are very fortunate, if we have mercy from Sri Guru and Gauranga, we'll be able to call out Krishna. When Suchi Rani Mataji left this world in January, she had been struggling with her mind so much, actually. She wanted to go back to Perth. And Krishna said, "No, I want you to leave in Vrindavan." And she said, "No, I want to go back to Perth." And Krishna said, "No, you're going to stay here." I used to practice with her, going to places in Vrindavan in her mind because she couldn't move from her bed. And then just before we would practice chanting in her mind. Chant in your mind, chant in your mind. And she was so uncomfortable, and she kept trying to turn and turn, and she was so because the soul was trying to leave, her body was racked with cancer, and the soul was not comfortable in the body, and this was uncomfortable, and she turned this way. And then about 20 minutes before she left, she said, "How can I survive if it's going to be like this? Still fighting." And then, Jagatrini Mataji was with her, and devotee Palika, and Kalini Mataji too. And they saw she was starting to leave. And Jagatrini said to her, "Chant, chant." And she said, "I am." She was chanting in her mind. She said, "I am." So it was so actually Krishna's arrangement, because otherwise you don't know what's going on in someone's mind because you can't hear that. She said out loud, "I am." She said, "I am chanting." And that was the last thing she said, but she was chanting in her mind. And then she left. So that was because she was such a sincere servant of the Vaishnavas, actually. That's why she got that mercy. This Mataji was a sincere servant of the Vaishnavas. She liked to serve the devotees. And therefore she got special mercy. Special mercy. Special mercy. She wanted one thing, Krishna wanted another. And when Krishna wants something, His will triumph over it, over our will. So we want to, somehow or another, we want to get Krishna desiring for our welfare and doing the best thing for us. We don't want I don't want my will to win. So Prabhupada makes the point in the purport. You may make a machine to cut your hair. You may make a machine to cut the vegetables. You may make a machine to brush your teeth. But what is the improvement, actually? You may make a machine to squeeze the sugarcane juice, but the sugarcane juice is still the same. So you haven't actually improved anything. You've wasted your time inventing a silly machine that improves nothing. You're still brushing your teeth. Use your time in a different way, on a different level, and learn to love Krishna. That is Prabhupada's point here. That is Narada Muni's point. Don't waste your life. See what is going to happen to you. Narada Muni is telling Puccini Barishat, by watching what's happening to Paranjana. This is you. And then the final verse we'll read today. When King Gandhavara, Chandravega, and his followers began to plunder the city of Paranjana, what does that mean? What is the plundering? Days and nights stealing away his youth and ability to enjoy. He's getting old. At that time, a snake with five hoods began to defend the city. This was his prana, his life force, the immunization system, the force of life that keeps the body going and healing itself. So Prabhupada says in his purport a little bit down, up to the age of 50, one can actively work for sense gratification, but after the 50th year, one's energy decreases. Although one can, with great strain, work for two or three more years, perhaps up to the 55th year. Thus, the 55th year is generally taken by government regulations as the final year for retirement. Now they've increased it. Australia at 65. Huh? It used to be 55, but you know why they do that, because they don't want to pay the people. So they keep them working. It's not very selfish. The energy which is fatigued after 50 years is figuratively described here as a serpent with five hoods. So these texts, they are not fun. They are not sweet like Krishna Leela. They are not fun, they are depressing. But they are required to help us become more serious in our taking shelter of Krishna's holy names, the process of Krishna consciousness. To become detached from the bodily concept of life. They help us detach from the bodily concept of life, which helps us attach to Krishna. So there are especially three sections of the Bhagavatam that give birth to renunciation, that one doesn't want to be in the bodily concept of life. Three that really push this. This is one. One is in Kapila Dev's teachings of adverse fruit of activities, where one's life is sped up, practically speaking. One sees the results very quickly. And then the third one is in the fifth canto. But the Bhagavatam doesn't have very much of this. But here we're in the middle of one very heavy section that should give birth, if we are fortunate, it will give birth to renunciation and the desire and more spiritual desires. Okay, we've already spent our time. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhaktivinoda ki jai.